radio.
Lep pozdrav poslušalstvu in ekipi Cross Radia. V ljubljanskem prispevku dajemo tokrat najprej prednost gostom iz Beograda. V ponedeljek smo na Metelkovi gostili Relijo Bobiča in Gorana Simononskega, organizatorja beograjskega festivala Dispatch, avtorja oddaje na radiju B92 in producenta oziroma glasbenika, ki jo poznamo bolj pod imenom Belgrade Yard Sound System. Njun intriganten način spajanja nasnetih avant-jazzovskih organskih zvokov, asimetričnih ritmov in živega elektronskega manipuliranja je navdušil množico obiskovalcev, ki sledijo dogodkom drugačne elektronske glasbe, katere pri nas vse bolj frekventno organizira slovenska založba RXTX. Za uvod poslušajmo del njihovega live act nastopa iz kluba Gromka, pri čemer se jima je na odru pridružil še Ivan Antič na kontrabasu. Pravkar minulem 14. ljubljanskem mednarodnem filmskem festivalu se v kinu podaja film Pod njenim oknom režiserja Metoda Pevca, ki je 7. novembra odprl festival LIF. Polona Juh, letošnja nagrajenka v Celju za najboljšo slovensko filmsko igralko, govori o filmu, svoji vlogi, duše in delu z režiserjem. V podlagi pa še naprej poslušamo Belgrade Yard Sound System.
Pri filmu pa se mi zdi, da moraš biti orientiran tudi to, da lahko na začetku začneš snimati konc. Ne, se pravi, da... Ja, tako da moraš po enem instinktu, ne, dost tudi po mojem dela, tako tudi v gledališču, sam se pravim. To se tako znanstveno mogoče slišim, ampak kako enkrat si noter, znotraj projekta, med to vsebino, ki se znajdeš v tem svetu, noter so stvari bolj preproste, pa hkrati zelo težke, ne. In stresne in izčrpljujoče, ker to so ekstrakti nekih senzibilitet ali pa čustev ali pa, ne vem, ves čas je posvečen popolnoma sam temu. Z Metodom je bilo zelo lepo, mislim, on je avtor tega teksta, bil za scenarija, ne, in jaz sem ga videla, kaj je poklical, v bistvu kakšno odgovornost je on čutil, komu bo to tudi ponudil, zaradi tega, ker jasno za avtorja je veliko tveganje, koga si bo vzel. Mislim, čisto nekako instinktivno verjetno režiserji poskušajo to začutiti, da bi bil nek medij, da mu bo izpovedal tisto, kar je mislil on, ne. Jasno, zame potem pa velika odgovornost. Ampak, se pravi, mi smo se s temi stvarmi ukvarjali, kaj je grozno, pa kaj ne, ampak smo se zelo hitro začeli pogovarjati in ogromno smo tudi imeli nekih vaj, preden smo sploh začeli snemati in se pravi, na teh vajah poteka vse tako spontano, da vloga, recimo, se prirašča s tabo skupaj, tako kot se zjutraj daš obleko gor, pa niti ne veš, da si se oblekel. Ne, in v bistvu zna opažati stvari, me je opomnil na stvari in sem jih potem tudi z njim, recimo, kaj glede scenarija, pa še ne tudi razreševala tako skupaj. Mislim, zelo je bil prilagodljiv, pa mislim, ni bil zagleden, recimo, tako kot se mi zdi za avtore, zelo težko včasih lahko kaj spreminjati zaradi tega, ker vse te besede, ki jih je verjetno vrgul na papir, so na nek način mu blizu, pa kaj se mi je dolg časa je rabo preden jih je izustil, ne, in potem je to težko črtati, pa rezati, pa spreminjati, pa tako, ne, ampak je bil zelo, zelo še prav navdušen, ne, če smo na tak način postopali s tekstom, da recimo ni. Proba smo ga čim bolj neliterarnega narediti, mislim, ne papirnatega, ne življenjskega. Ker tako se mi zdi, da tudi v filmih naj ne bi šlo za to, da bi mi slovenski jezik nižal za vsako ceno, da bi ga priljubili občinstvu. Se mi zdi, da se je treba slovenski jezik zelo, zelo natančno ohranjati. Zelo treba paziti na ga, na kakšen način v filmih predstavljati. A kdo je pod njenim oknom? Ja, jaz mislim, da gre za metaforo, jasno, ne. Mislim, ne pusti malo prostora, da si mogoče lahko še kdo drug predstavlja, kaj bi bilo lahko kaj pod oknom. Mar si kaj, kar se v duši ni glavi poraja, kar si ona želi in počemer hrepeni, ne. V filmu vidimo par verzij, kaj si želi in kaj si ne želi. Ampak verjetno pa če je to prostor tudi za identifikacijo kakšnega drugega človeka, ne, v filmu. Tudi ne vem, zakaj je Metod izbral, pardon, to ime. Ampak, kaj se vem, zdaj sem se ga že navajala in ne razmišljam več, zakaj.
Kros radio.
V Krosu se danes posvečamo tudi gostu iz ZDA. Govorimo o Antoniju Seegerju, priznanemu ameriškemu etnomuzikologu, ki izhaja iz glasbene družine. Njegov stric je bil znani protestniški folk pevec Pete Seeger. Bil je direktor Folkway Recordings in je generalni sekretar pri International Council of Traditional Music. Znan je po svoji raziskavi, ki jo je opravil med desetletnim prebivanjem pri amazonskem indijanskem ljudstvu Suja, ukvarja pa se tudi s problemi avtorskih pravic pri izdajanju tradicionalne glasbe. Anthony Seeger je prejšnji teden imel dva predavanja na Fakulteti za etnologijo in kulturno antropologijo. Mi pa smo ga prepričali, da nam je odgovoril na nekaj vprašanj. Najprej je govoril o avtorskih pravicah pri izdajanju tradicionalne glasbe, nato na splošno o problemih glasbene industrije, nekaj o tehniki semplanja, na koncu pa še o ameriški etnomuzikologiji danes ter o glasbi in njenem političnem naboju. V podlagi pa poslušamo glasbo indijancev Suja.
Copyright law is affecting the music we hear and the music we don't hear. And one of the great iniquities in copyright law, one of the things that's wrong with it, is that it protects the works of individuals who write new songs, but it doesn't protect traditional works at all. And so traditional performers basically can see their music taken and used by other people and exploited by other people without their permission and also without their getting any money from it. So there are a number of ways in which the law shapes the music that we hear and who gets rich and who never gets any money at all. Well, the record business itself, I don't think, is necessarily crooked. There are a lot of very honest people working very hard, especially in independent labels, care deeply about the music and want to do their best. The part of the record industry I found was most, I thought, crooked and open to manipulation was the music publishing part, where a person who never composed a song in his life would put his name as the author of a song, or where in exchange for getting a recording produced, the songwriter would have to give up the songs and let the company copyright them in the company's name. So there are all kinds of ways in which making money from song ownership and invented composition prevailed in the music publishing industry, and I think it's really, it's one of the worst parts of the industry. Well, sampling itself, I think, is a great thing. It's one of the ways to create new kinds of music, by bringing in musical ideas from different places. But it's not essentially that much different than what Beethoven was doing, bringing in, how much really original material is there in Beethoven? Just 2% maybe. The rest is musical ideas that are already around that he just brought in. And I think people build music based on other music that they hear and they like. And it's just our technology has given us some really interesting new ways to do that. I think the danger of sampling is when you use a music that somebody else thinks is sacred or secret, and then what you're doing is you're doing them a great injustice by making their secret things public, and also if you don't give them credit, you basically take in their ideas without even telling the world that whose they were originally. Oh, I think it's a crisis because of a technology, and I don't know what the outcome will be, but we will certainly have a new technology for distributing recordings, and a lot of people will be looking for jobs, obviously out of work, and a lot of other people will be very happy because we can get music more easily. The record industry has gone through several crises, and one of them that comes to mind was in 1920 when the production of record players for recordings, audio recordings, fell about 60%. And the reason was that people wanted to buy radios. And it took 2 years for the large companies like Edison to discover that all they had to do was put a radio inside their record player, and their sales went back up. But in the process, a number of companies went out of business, and the new technology took off, and they were successful until the 1930s when they had another problem with the Depression. So they have a problem, and everybody thinks it's the end of the world. I think it's just a moment. And the outcome will be very promising for musicians, because more people around the world can hear their music instantaneously, and for users, who will be able to access a lot more music than they can right now. When you do field research with a community or a single artist, I think you create a relationship that involves a certain obligation with respect to them, to help them if they ask for it. And in the case of my own relationship with the Suya Indians in Brazil, I had done research on their music, but also on all aspects of their social life. And so when they needed to prove that a certain piece of land had actually been occupied by them in the past, and that they needed those resources for their living, I was able to provide that proof to the Brazilian government in a way they could believe. Because they wouldn't believe the Indians when they said so, but they could believe a PhD who had already published the book in advance and had the data collected before the occupation. So I think some of the most important aspects of our research may actually be the way the community can use the results of that research. And not only ourselves in our own careers, but the people whose very lives may be affected by their access to their old recordings or to information that we have collected in our research. American ethnomusicology has become more and more focused on popular music. Not necessarily the popular music of the United States, but the popular music as a phenomenon around the world. The importance of media is very clear. And so the popular music of Pakistan, of India, of Indonesia are all objects of study for ethnomusicologists. And I think more and more people are working with popular music and doing interviews in that area. Every place is a good place to record. This place is a good place to record. This town is full of different kinds of alternative music. And I was walking around downtown next to the Ethnological Museum, and there were a whole bunch of clubs there. And so I heard somebody doing a samba beat in one of them, and other kinds of music going on there. So there are all kinds of places you could go and record. But you need to remember when you're recording that you have to ask permission first and see if it's all right with the artist and tell them why you want to do it. Because you can't just record music and then walk off with it and publish it. There are real ethical issues there that we tend to forget because our recording devices are so small that no one even sees we're making recordings anymore. With the old big ones, everybody knew you were making a recording, but with this, you could just sort of put it in your pocket and make a good recording. I think in order to estimate the role of music and its role in protest movements, you have to shift genre from decade to decade. And so while guitars and banjos and acoustic music was a very important part of protest in the 1960s, by the 1970s, it had really gotten into rock. And so the rock performers were some of the great exponents and sort of the most popular exponents of radical protest against the current situation. And I'd say today it's rap. I think the rap artists are some of the greatest exponents of real solid protest against the way life is in the United States. And that's much clearer there than it is either in rock or in acoustic music right now.
Če je Sigar zaključil z besedami, da je hip-hop v sedanjosti glasba z največ političnega naboja, poslušajmo sedaj še trenutno vrhunec slovenskega hip-hopa. Cenjeni slovenski hip-hoper, Rimo Brcač in hitrogovorec, Antoko, dvakratni zmagovalec slovenskega prvenstva v freestylu in član multižanrske hip-hop, funk, drum and bass, jungle, soul and dub zasedbe Move Knowledgement, je ta teden izdal svoj solo prvenec Cesarjeva nova podoba, ki ga je posnel v Osijeku. Z njega poslušamo komad Srednja pot, pri katerem se mu kot gost pridruži še letošnji klubski maratonec Samo Boris.
Polovica ljudi ima premalo časa, preveč denarja, zato preveč kupuje in premalo ustvarja. Druga polovica ima premalo denarja in preveč časa, zato premalo dela se preveč na druge zanaša. Polovica ljudi preveč govori in premalo razmišlja, nič ni ne pove v sajt, pa mobitel v roki stiska. Druga polovica preveč razmišlja, premalo govori, se mečijo pod vlaka, da fok ne pozab na njih. Pesnik je preveč patetičen, da bi ga jemal resno. Šikar preveč abstraktan, da bi svet tako polepšil. Umetnik preveč umeten, da bi vplival na realnost. Mesec je preveč pijen, da bi lahko razmišljal trezno. Rapper ima predrage cune, da bi se lahko umazal. Punker je preveč umazan, da bi se pod njim prokazal. Kraljestvo je vse v redu, v očeh vladare. Iz privatnega letala je vse, kva se na tleh dogaja. Šupnik ima preveč zahtevno mamo in celotno okolje, da bi se ukvarjal z izpodjevanjem Božje volje. Cerkovo znanje sodni dan ne podreše njega. Kristjan se bodi boga. Velik bog od hudiča. Škoda, da je Justin Krišna ne govoriva izgen jezike. Vinde, da samo podlogo bradnemu autorju pot napisa. Ne moreš Kristina Guiljero špilat na sita. V svetu glišča in kiča šiva ti višnu prodajalca na kita. Alah ima probleme. Izvidil ga z letališča. Turban in brada se ga izdala za terorista. Če bi tako ustranil trko kot Jehova priča, ne bi imel čov na vršman na gore. Sem jak to sred pristališča. Rasta preveč zapohan, da bi najdel Etiopijo. Babilon se vtiho ta VRG rap in rock'n'roll. Kokr to v normalnem boksu vljame v to Coca-Cola. Konkurenca je zaupan, sam prerok vam opijel. Če reži mimo, jutri je predaleč. Bil bi že na cilju, če bi živil samo danes. Zmer imam premalo, ali pa malo preveč. Lahko bi imel še čisto vse, če bi se enkrat nehal grep. Če reži mimo, jutri je predaleč. Bil bi že na cilju, če bi živil samo danes. Zmer imam premalo, ali pa malo preveč. Lahko bi imel že čisto vse, če bi se enkrat nehal grep.
Kaj tvoje grebelce?
Kaj, kamera?
Ej, grebelce rabo.
Grebelce?
Ej mi tvoje grebelce. Otroci hoče biti spolno privlačni, preden znajo to sploh črkovat. Dan skrat, da se brez riti noč ne da na trg poslat. In kaj s timi kao glasbeniki, kad delajo muziko za tuje tržišče, kot da je glas artikel za prodat. Danes je reklamni plakat sinonim za žalitev. Glej odstotek bej po reklamah, pa prever trditev. Na zahodu lahko trepa živiš, na srečo tlene. Zeleni MC-ji se že zdaj igrajo biznismene. Pop glasba sam še ena odlov. Mladi Slovenci niso več brez denarja, ampak so broke. Kaj nam pomaga eno B dansko? Mora znat nemško in angliško, da sploh razumeš ljubljansko.
Slovenija ves časom.
Ja normalno, tle se etnično čiščenje izvaja že digitalno. Delijo svet na prvi, drugi, tretji, politiki v službi pošastnih podjetij. Ma kot otroci so, treba jih paziti vedno sprot. Tle so levi, desni in desni še bolj, pa najc zdaj srednjo pot. Očiten znak njihove nesposobnosti, skos nas jebajo, pa še zmedne zvišajo rodnosti. Nikol dost ni ulične plodnosti, moj način spoštovanje s prevzemanjem odgovornosti. Siljo nas noter, pa ostajam zuni, samo Boris sam še enka ni od unih.
Če reži mimo, jutri je predaleč. Bil bi že na cilju, če bi živel samo danes. Zmer imam premalo, ali pa malo preveč. Lahko bi imel že čisto vse, če bi se enkrat nehal grep. Če reži mimo, jutri je predaleč. Bil bi že na cilju, če bi živel samo danes. Zmer imam premalo, ali pa malo preveč. Lahko bi imel že čisto vse, če bi se enkrat nehal grep.
Današnji kros prispevek smo pripravili Polona, Saša, David in Jure. Srečno in lep pozdrav od ljubljanske ekipe Radija Študent.
Kros Radio.